Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. And that music means we are going to chat it up with another one of our wonderful authors from the Bookstube at the Beerstube series. However, it's going to be a virtual Bookstube event, and it is going to be on the 17th of June. And for people that are able to zoom in, I know that we will post some information online and on our Facebook page as how to do that. But we are thrilled to have with us mystery, suspense, and fiction author Jennifer DeVries, and she is writing as Brenda Lynn, and she is here to tell us about this event and about herself. So first of all, I'm so happy that you called in today. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
This is a really interesting genre that you write in. It's mystery, suspense, and fiction. Are those three separate categories also, or are they, obviously they're blended with your books, but could those be separate, or are mystery and suspense the same thing kind of?
You know, I would say that mystery and suspense are two different kind of categories under fiction. You know, there's you've got fiction books and nonfiction books, but then under the fiction side, there's a million billion different, you know, genres that you could write or read in.
So what do you think is the difference between mystery and suspense?
Well, mystery is going to be kind of the whodunit, right? The reader, as the reader reads the story, they're trying to figure out who is the bad guy who committed this crime, and they may not know it until the very end. The suspense doesn't have to be a mystery. It could just be a very exciting, very page-turning story that you can't put down, and you got to know what happens and read through the whole thing until the very end because you just can't put it down.
I see.
A lot of times they go hand-in-hand, but not always.
I see. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Where did you grow up?
I grew up here in the Twin Cities in Plymouth, Minnesota, is where what I call home. I did spend a bit of my childhood out in Williston, North Dakota, most of my elementary school years, and then moved back right after the fourth grade and finished out my school years in the Robbinsdale School District and graduated from Armstrong High School. After that, I went to college in Wisconsin, started at the University of Wisconsin La Crosse, and ended up transferring to Madison, and that's where I graduated from. And so, you know, it's been... right after I graduated, I came right back to the Twin Cities because I'm a Minnesota girl at heart, and I just can't stay away for too long. But I did love Wisconsin. And in fact, that's where my book is set, at Madison.
Ooh. So did you actually like reading books of the mystery, suspense, and fiction categories when you were a little girl? Or where do you think your love of this genre came from?
Well, you know, my love of the genre came from my love of Stephen King. My mom introduced me to Stephen King when I was about 10 years old.
Okay,
when
wow.
I read my first Stephen King book, and I have not been able to get enough since. I've read every novel, and, you know, I just think he is the greatest storyteller of this time, you know.
So and, at 10 years old, you were reading Stephen King and not Nancy Drew? What?
I was well past Nancy Drew by that time.
Wow.
I read Nancy Drew when I was younger, and I read, like, you know,
the Hardy Boys,
Sweet Valley High, and all those. But I was a little bit younger. It's about 10 years old is when I transitioned to adult novel.
I think that's very impressive. Wow, you're an overachiever.
Yeah, I guess so.
My
mom and dad say I was reading billboards in the backseat of the car before the age of three. So I think I was just meant to be a writer.
No kidding. Mm-hmm. So then how do you grow up and become a writer?
Well, when I was a kid, even, I would write just to write stories because, I had them in my head. I had to get it out somehow. When I was a young teenager, I would spend, every night, about a half an hour every night or so, just kind of working on a book or working on a story that was in my head. And I knew that eventually I wanted to be a published author. That was my goal, my singular goal in life.
Jennifer, that's so awesome.
Yeah, it really was. But then, you know, I got older and I went through high school and kind of, you know, began to see that, you know, making a career of that was going to be really, really difficult and maybe wasn't the most practical choice. And so I fell victim to adulthood when I got to college. and I changed my direction.
I like that line.
Yeah, yes.
Otherwise known as the Big Fat Dream Buster era.
Exactly. Exactly. When it came time to change a major, or when it came time to choose a major, I could have gone English and creative writing, which is what my heart wanted to do, or I could go journalism, which is, you know, and focus on more on like advertising type writing. And, you know, that felt like in business, and that felt like a little bit more practical. So that is the way I went.
So did you enjoy that field?
I have enjoyed that field. You know, I didn't go into advertising as planned. I remember in a job interview once I told the hiring manager, when he asked me what I wanted to be when I grew up, I told him I wanted to write the next Volkswagen ad, and he hired me on the spot. But, you know, it didn't last long, and I ended up really more in the corporate marketing, and that's where I've been ever since. And it's been good. It's been great. I've learned a lot. I've had a chance to do a lot of different writing for different companies and industries, but my heart has always been in being a novelist.
Well, I just think this is great. So your novel, Charlie's Mirror, is now available, and you are actually working on your third novel, which is really
Correct.
Exciting. So first of all, tell us a little bit about Charlie's Mirror. You mentioned it's set in Wisconsin.
It is. It is set in Madison, Wisconsin. And the only reason for that is because, like I mentioned earlier, I went to college there. I feel like it was the spring of 1997. Well, it might have been the fall of 1997. I was walking home from class. I lived in a dorm next to the lake, on the lake shore. And I remember walking through this clearing that was not too far from my dorm. And I remember just thinking, you could see the lake. I was surrounded by old buildings, cobblestones, and big giant trees. And thinking to myself, you know, this place has been here a long time. And how cool would it be to go back 20, 30, 50, 100 years and see what this looked like back then and be part of that and experience what life was like back then? Would it be as gritty and awesome and just, I don't know, I can't even find the words. I'm a writer and I can't even find the words as I think it would be. You know, just I was fascinated by the idea of going back and seeing what it would have been like in a time that was different than where I was at the time. And that was the spark for the idea that eventually became Charlie's Mirror. Charlie is a time travel novel as well. And there are two main characters, Sarah Sullivan, who is present day, 30-something-year-old woman, and Charlie Anderson, who is circa 1989 in Madison, who is a college student. And so Sarah really is the focus of, I say two main characters, but Sarah really is kind of the primary focus because she's the one who travels back in time. She falls through this mysterious mirror.
Oh, no.
Wakes up in 1989 as a college student on the University of Wisconsin campus. And, oh, and I forgot to mention that before she fell through that mirror,
yes,
she read a newspaper article about a bombing. It was the 30th anniversary of a bombing. And so she falls through the mirror and finds herself 6 weeks prior to that bombing happening. And she is the only one who knows it's coming and is the only one who could stop it.
What the heck?
That's what the book does then, follows her through her, you know, her efforts to find the bomber. And, you know, just to add a little bit of complication, Sarah had a very difficult childhood, has a hard time making friends. The only living being she wants to ever spend time with is her cat. And so she has a hard time trusting people, and she has to learn to overcome her emotional scars and connect with people and trust people in order to stop this bombing.
Well, I'm going to be kind of braggy for you. Some of the reviews say it's quite a page-turner, it's engaging and well-written, it's an amazing book written by a new author, and somebody just wrote in all capital letters, must read. That's pretty high praise. Congratulations to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm very proud of it. And I'm happy to say that there's also, you know, kind of a fun little twist ending that you won't see coming as well.
Oh,
that people seem to enjoy.
I love it. So you write under the name Brenda Lynn. What is that like to have two names?
It is like having two names. Yes.
No, I'm serious. You know, what is that like? Is it confusing? And is that something that you always wanted to do? Was have what is? It's not an assumed name. What is it? A pseudonym? What's it called?
It's a pen name.
A pen name. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I guess it isn't something I ever really thought about until I actually started seriously working on publishing Charlie's Mirror. It's not that I don't love my name. I do. DeVries is, but it's a difficult name for people to spell and pronounce and remember. And I really wanted to find something that might be a little bit more unique and easy for people to know and find. So that's really the main reason why I took on a pen name.
So Brenda Lynn, where did that come from? Is that...
There's a great story behind Brenda Lynn.
Let's hear it.
So I mentioned earlier that part of my childhood, most of my elementary school years, I was in Williston, North Dakota. And in the second grade, my teacher, whose name was Brenda, I remember I just adored her. She was a great teacher. She was young. I thought she was the most beautiful woman I'd ever seen in my life with the feathery, you know, kind of Farrah Fawcett hair.
Yes.
This was back in the early 80s. So second grade, we had a unit where we had to, you know, take care of an egg, right? It was our lesson where we had to take care of an egg for a few days. Kind of introduction to childcare, I guess.
Right.
You could say, for 8-year-olds. So we each got an egg, and then to kind of add a little something to the lesson, she arranged it so that the class went to the courthouse and stood in front of a judge and officially, quote-unquote, adopted these eggs. So that meant we had to name them. And, you know, I remember I thought long and hard about what I was going to name my egg, and it just suddenly became clear to me I needed to name my egg after my teacher because I loved her so much.
Aww.
Brenda. And then Lynn really was just me thinking Lynn was a great name, but I didn't like how it was spelled with two N's. So I thought if I took one N off and replaced it with an E, that was much more exotic and beautiful.
So your egg had a middle name?
That was her name. Well, yes, it was Brenda Lynn DeVries.
I must say, in second grade, I don't think I even knew my teachers had first names. How did you?
Yeah. I don't know how I knew that, but I did. I thought it was the most beautiful name ever.
Oh, what a cute story. Does your teacher know this story? Is she still around?
I don't know. I have not been able. I've looked. I have not been able to track her down, but I'm going to keep trying because
yeah, you,
I think she would get a kick out of it.
You really do. Yeah. And then send her this interview so she can hear that sweet story. I think that is
definitely
just so cute. So, Jennifer, this is really exciting for you. So how did it go? You mentioned publishing. That's always something that kind of trips people up is they have these great books, but then to get it published. How did that work for you, please?
It's been a challenge, to say the least. You know, my original plan was to publish, what I really wanted to do was publish Charlie through a traditional publisher with an agent. But I learned that is a lot harder than it sounds. You know, you have to be on your game with convincing an agent to take you on because you have a book that they can sell to a major publisher. And I don't know why, but, you know, nobody ever picked Charlie up. They just, like, rejection after rejection. So finally, I decided... You know, I was about ready to give up after probably 50 rejections from agents. But I did give it one last shot and took part in a Twitter, what's called a pitch party. And so authors can go out and throw their 280-character pitch on Twitter in the hopes that an agent or a publisher who is looking, it's all scheduled in at the same time. So, you know, people, you know, congregate together, you know, at the same time, one day every quarter, I think it is. And hope that I got some interest. If I didn't get any interest, I was going to be done and try self-publishing. And so I was fortunate enough to actually get two interests from two different publishers at this last shot, going to give up if this doesn't work, pitch party. And I ended up signing with one of them, and they got my book out there, published it in December of last year. Unfortunately, it wasn't. Overall, not a good experience for me, and I ended up leaving the publisher in May and self-publishing Charlie myself just to get it back out there. So if people go out looking to buy the book, you know, especially on Amazon, they'll see two different covers, but that's only because there's a first edition and a second edition they're the same story. They just have different covers on them.
Well, that's good to know. Well, congratulations to you for taking matters in your own hands. I think that's great.
Thank you.
So this event, again, is going to be a virtual bookstube. It's going to be on Thursday, June 17th. And the good news is anyone can tune in. It's at 7 o'clock p.m. Central Time. And we will publish the information about registering and then getting the Zoom information so that people can participate. What do you expect to do at this virtual event, Jennifer?
You know, if I'm being honest, I'm not exactly sure what to expect. I've never taken part in a virtual event, so I'm thinking it might be, you know, kind of a question and answer kind of session, maybe a lot like we've had here, where, you know, I get to maybe tell my story and bring listeners along, and maybe it'll pique their interest and they'll want to check out my book.
The book is called Charlie's Mirror, and I know you said that you're currently drafting your third novel. Where's your second novel?
Second novel is finished, and I am currently plotting out the path to publication for that one. Being either later this year or early next.
Wonderful. Well, keep us in mind, and we want to learn more about that as well. So here's my question from my boss, Dan. He wants to know if you would ever consider setting one of your novels in a radio station.
Of course I will consider it.
Okay,
yes.
Good. Hopefully there's suspense, there's some mystery, no murders.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes time to read that book, Maureen, I'll be giving you a call because I'm going to need to do some research.
Jennifer, I know it's just going to be such a fun event. Congratulations to you on your successes. What a great story you have. The book is called Charlie's Mirror, and it's available where you buy your book. So check it out. And again, the event, the Bookstube event is Thursday, June 17th at 7 o'clock p.m., and all are welcome. Our guest today is Jennifer DeVries, otherwise known as Brenda Lynn. Thank you so much for calling in today. We really appreciate
it. Thank you very much.
And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.